glad you're here. I'm excited about a special day like today. And today really is the beginning of our switching services. And so from now on, Sunday school will be at 9:30 with worship at 10:30. And hopefully we'll be done a little bit before noon. So that will start next week. I went to a birthday party last night. It was Bill Gaither's. That's Ryan's grandpa, and he is 88 years old. And one of the things we did was just to go around, we were on the back porch, and just talk about what we were thankful for and appreciated about Bill. My point is gratitude is really important. It's an important quality of life. It's godliness to be a grateful, thankful person. And that's true when it comes to others. And maybe today, my just talking about it will encourage you to tell somebody you appreciate their activity, maybe in your child's life or in your life. But even more important than telling others, it's important to tell God that we are thankful for His activity in our lives. And so that's why every March, the first Sunday in March, we have a special Sunday. Now, we worship every Sunday, but this is just a special time for us to reflect. We're going to have testimony this morning. I'm going to have some slides. And so we're just going to look back at God's activity. And we don't only just want to review. It's not like, well, let's review some of these things. We want to express our gratitude. That's the intent. That as we review and as we reflect, we praise. We thank God for His activity in our lives. This year, as you can see, here's the flyer. Actually, it's the front cover of your bulletin. Maybe you got a bulletin coming in. Each year at this time, not only do we celebrate the activity of God, but we look at our Acts 2:42 priorities. And we take one of those in particular and emphasize it. And this year, we're going to give emphasis to this idea of prayer. And you're going to be, hopefully, over the next months, hear more and more about prayer. And the priority we wanted to be at Charleston Bible Church. What were the priorities of the early church? They were continually devoting themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so that's where we take our priorities. And so prayer. And the boys and girls on Wednesday night are learning about prayer. They are studying the Lord's Prayer, and each week we take about four or five words, one little phrase, and focus on it. And then, actually, their craft now is one on prayer. And the music they're learning is about prayer. And so I wanted them to sing one song this morning. And I'm calling it a flash mob because we did not practice this up here on Wednesday night. They're just going to come up and they're going to sing, "Have You Ever Talked to God Above?" Boys and girls, flash mob. Come on up. Oh, we lost the leaf. Can you pick and grab that, Kelly? All right, anybody besides me find themselves singing along with that song? That song's been around a long time. If you ever talk to God. It's beautiful, isn't it? And the words, the melody, the meaning, just tremendous. Every year you see this slide as we talk about God's activity. And it reminds us that there's so much more going on than we realize. We're going to talk about some things this morning over the next half hour or so as to God's activity. But there's just so much more, just like an iceberg. You know, you see what's going on in the surface, but God is doing immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so I want to start, we've already started, but lead us in prayer right now and just thank God. So we'll start thanking Him for His activity. Some we see, some we don't. And then probably at the very end, I'll have Jack lead us in prayer. But this is a time for praising God. Father, we give You praise. Just like this iceberg, some of the things as to Your activity we see, we give You thanks for, but the most of what You're doing in our world today is beyond our observation. You're great and glorious. You're doing immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Father, we thank You this morning that You have exalted Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our minds. You've given us new hearts. You've turned our hearts of stone into flesh that are responsive to Your Word and to Your Spirit's activity. You've given us the gift of Your Spirit. Your Spirit has gifted us for service. We can live lives that matter and have purpose as far as the kingdom of God and eternity. You place us in a church body, a church family, like Charleston Bible Church, where we can encourage one another, we can receive encouragement. Father, we give You praise. May Your praise constantly be on our lips. Just this morning in a special way, hearts filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. Father, we ask for the activity of Your Spirit, even here now, exalting Your Son, and maybe bringing to remembrance how You've been at work in the past year. But we praise You. And Father, thank You for giving our children a new song, working in their lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, baptisms. Baptisms are always a highlight. How many remember the one we had when there was an accident on Highway 17? Grant, that was when you were baptized. How many remember that? Had a hard time getting out there. I'm just asking that because these things happen, and it may have been 6 months ago, and we forget entirely until we start to think about it and be reminded of those kind of things. I think our host service was delayed about an hour that Sunday night out at Peaceful Way. But as far as those baptized, there's Julia Mott. There is Rhett White. You know what I appreciate about Rhett? Where's Rhett? Is your smile. You have this contagious, huge smile. Look at him right now. Look at that grin. His whole face lights up. How many of you were at the sportsman's dinner last fall? And he won the bow. Did you win the bow? Have you been shooting it? Have you killed anything? Don't tell us. Don't. I'm not even going to go there. God, that was a dumb question. But Rhett, Silas, older brother. And then Dan Butler. Dan's right back there. And then Jeff Brown. And then Grant, right there. So we had six who were baptized. And we always want to see more baptized, don't we? Amen. Those who come to faith. In fact, the outreach team met this week. And the discussion was a lot about how can we bring things to the church in the year ahead, which will cause us to focus more on evangelism. In particular, bringing the gospel, maybe through things we already do, such as a vacation Bible school. How do we include those outside the church? And it's just not us and the 35 or 40 children here, but those outside the church to come and hear the gospel. So hopefully you'll be hearing more of that in the next several months. Baptism, new members. There's Regina, joined with us, and then Jeff and Tanya. And we've had three over the past year. We need more, don't we? We're not a church that pushes hard on church membership, But I know there are, we've had a membership class, so it's been a while, and a number of you said, hey, I want to go ahead and join. It's just a matter of continuing to proceed in the process, and I'm going to encourage you to do that. And then we have a new members class tonight. And so if you're interested in church membership, and by attending this, you're not saying, okay, I'm definitely going to join the church. You're going to hear about Charleston Bible Church and what we stand for. And you may decide through that you don't necessarily care to stand with us. Does that sound harsh? But we as a church take a very specific stance in different areas. And so becoming a member of this church, you're really joining in with the church team here. John, you see John's name down there? That's just a simple reminder for me. I've asked John and Leah, who are relatively new around Charleston Bible, to just take about 5 minutes and share how God's been at work in their lives. So if you guys want to come up, Leah, are you coming up with him or is it just John? I think you better come on up. I think, yeah. Leah. And let me say this about John and Leah. You're going to see a picture. Well, it's actually going to be blacked out, the faces of the family from Afghanistan, because we've got to watch how much of that we put out there. But Leah and John are helping lead in that area of ministering to Nadia and her family. And so she may share a little bit about that. I don't know. But guys, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, it's great to see everybody here this morning. And, you know, we want to talk about and share about God's activity. Specifically, with this Afghan resettlement team. And it's very exciting. We have just so many volunteers. It has been wonderful to watch the outpouring of the spirit of Christians in this church helping in that way. So as Pastor mentioned, Nadia is the mother, the Afghan mother, and she has four children, two boys, 10 and 6, two girls that are 1.5 and 5 months. And I think it was about 3 months ago or so, give or take, when we first heard about this idea that, okay, there are more than 100 Afghan refugees that are coming to Charleston to resettle. And that's a big influx, and how are we going to deal with that? And so there's sort of an overall group that is helping, and then there are church volunteer groups throughout the Charleston area here. And we have point people. Leah is the point people with this group, Lutheran Services, who's kind of looking over everything. We also have Stephen as well. And then just a whole host of volunteers. And there is a lot of work that has gone into just welcoming Nadia and then helping her live here in Charleston. Yep. And just to put the challenge out there, this is like caring for a child, because her knowledge of English, the English language, is childlike, you know, very little. But she has adult needs and she has children of her own. And so it is just a big challenge to be able to just talk with her and work with her. And of course there are many interpreters, and we have Google Translate, so we're thankful for that, and many, many other things. And I'm up here in the same way that, you know, we've got 23 people in the group of volunteers in this church. So that is awesome. And I know that there's even more than that, because each spouse that is with one of those volunteers is also doing a lot more, and that's not even shown there. And that's a little bit of what I'm like here. Leah.
Speaking from experience there.
Yeah, right. I'm speaking from experience there. Leah has just taken off with this. But we have so many volunteers. We have teams that are working. We had a welcome team to welcome Nadia when she came in to Charleston on an airplane and the family. We have a transportation team, a school and daycare team, a home maintenance team, a finance team, home furnishings team, a food team, an ESL team, and then we are still looking for some volunteers, even if you feel like, hey, at this point, I still do want to get involved. Of course, we've had difficulties. There have been, you know, just fires that spring up in every way at every time. But we know God is sovereign, and we are thankful that in everything we can see His work, and that we are showing Christ's love to the stranger. We're here to recognize what He has done, and there have been some successes over this team. I'm just going to echo what Leah had sent out in an email just this other week. We know that Nadia has learned that there are people in her life that care for her and love her, and that's a big thing coming from that culture of Afghanistan, as we've learned. She's had the opportunity to meet other Afghan women. She's gone to the park, visited the grocery store, learned how to use a washer and dryer and stove, visited the beach, seen her kids in a pool, and had fellowship with so many CBC groups and volunteers, all the volunteers that we have. So this is missions in our backyard. This is an opportunity, like Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." And so that is really what we're trying to do with this effort. And it's a long road ahead still. It's only been a few weeks that we've...
It's been a longer time than that.
So this is a long-term opportunity, but God is so good, and we trust that this is all going to work according to His plan.
And I'd just like to say thank you for everybody who has just pitched in, all hands on deck, and given your all, because it is a massive operation and undertaking, and you all have just done an amazing job at seeing the needs and filling the needs. And I've seen in my own weakness, I've seen God move, and I've seen also just how reliant we are on God and the gifts that He's given each of you. So just want to say appreciation for that.
Looking at you, you've been involved in this. Would you lead us in a short prayer for Nadia and her family? Would you be willing to do that?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just recognize that you brought Abraham into a land where he didn't know. You went with him, and you just grew your church from one man. And Father God, we think of the people of Afghanistan. So much heaviness, and think of Farid and Sonia and Nadia and others, Lord, who we just pray they'll see you. And we thank you. We pray for the church in Afghanistan. And we also just pray for many who have never had a chance to hear about Jesus Christ in the land that they were born in. But now they're coming here, people like Nadia and others. And I just thank you so much for the hands that reached out to her, and the hands, the minds that pray for her and that pray for the people of Afghanistan. And we just pray that that as you are bringing them to our shores, that we will share the love of Jesus Christ, and that they will see you, Lord Jesus, and that they will come to a saving knowledge of you, Father God. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, let's move on. Here we seated a new deacon about 2 weeks ago when we had a congregational meeting. Rhett, where are you at? Oh, he's standing up there in the back. And here's a slide. Rhett, where was that taken at?
Sir Emily's wedding.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's quite a celebration, wasn't it? So have Rhett. We have tremendous leadership at this church. And when you think of the elders and the deacons and then those who lead different ministries, we are really blessed. Yeah. All right, finances and facilities. Just quickly, this was a year ago, December, $100,000 basically. And now our balance, our total assets are about $150,000. So thank you for your giving over the past year. And our praise goes to God. We want to continually thank Him for His faithfulness to us. So, and we pray that will continue, don't we? As the economy kind of shakes and everybody's looking at the gas pump tapping it to make sure it's recording correctly, right? Yes, it is. Renovations. Renovations. Who ever knew that the Gaga pit would be such a hit? Right? I mean, You can tell it's time to end Sunday school because there they go, like a stream going, lemurs heading to the Gaga pit. Just tremendous. Children's play area, you can look out there and see that. Now what we're waiting on are getting just the different play toys out there. Sound system, Michael Mott was behind that lab. Michael, it's been maybe 6 months, not a year ago, that he was responsible, really. We brought a guy in from the outside, did a lot with our sound. Overflow next door. Most Sundays we have folks next door on a Sunday morning when we have worship in here. Parking, resurfacing, website. I don't know if you've been to our website, but we have a new website. Sanctuary roof. We had a roof put on here just recently, within the last couple of months. And then how many of you drove up? I'm seeing how observant you are and saw the ductwork on the side over there. Do you see that? Because Friday, the group came in. What's the name of the group, Gabe? Gabe has been responsible, really, for this. Where are you at? What is it? JAC Services. And they came in. They pulled out the old system. And I think the first part of the week, they're going to put in a new system. And actually, we have no heat. They turned off the gas, and I'm glad our weather cooperated. So, but all these renovations, space is a positive challenge. You're going to hear me reference it that way. It's positive to say we're running out of room. And this is the kids' clubs on a Wednesday night. It's that room right over there. And by the time you add the children and the adults, I think I'm safe to say we have anywhere between 45 and 50 in that room. It's full. It's not too full yet, but we're bumping up against that sense of it's full. And so space, we need to be praying about space. And I'm honest with you, the leadership doesn't have a definite sense. This is what we should do. This is what we should do. And so what do we turn to? We turn to prayer and ask God, God, what do you have for us? And we continue to take growth fund offerings. We took one last Thanksgiving, and our goal was 20,000. And actually, through the generosity of different ones, we went well over $20,000. This time, our goal is $10,000. We're a church of, I'm just going to do the math with you. We're a church of about 70 families. And so if everybody gave $2,000, we would easily reach our goal. You look at it, are you crazy? If everybody gave $150. All right, sometimes we need it broke down. We wonder, how do we reach these goals? What does it take? Well, if everybody becomes involved, my mom used to say, and your mom maybe did too, many hands make light work. Anybody else's mom say that? And that's the way it is with giving. And we're asking people to give above and beyond what they normally give to the general fund. And so it's a privilege to give. It's a privilege to serve. And this is just one way over the next couple of Sundays. You can say, hey, I want to help us reach that goal. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's our purpose as a church. It comes right out of Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, where Jesus said, oh, I've got all authority. I'm sending you out, and I want you to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them all that I've commanded you. And how does he encourage us at the end there? I'll be with you always. We're not doing this in our own energy. I don't want to help lead a church in my own energy. I don't want you to do ministry in your own energy. You shouldn't look at it that way. We want to draw on the resources that God has given us. And a primary one is really the Spirit of God who indwells us. And so we have a number of different missionaries. Last fall, our conference was Mission Possible, and we had the Kings and the Winds in with us. And out of that, we had a mission trip develop, and I love to see things connect like that. We had our missions conference with Dwayne King. Everybody remember Dwayne? He's Mr. Energy. He's up here, and he's all over the place, isn't he? That's Dwayne King, right? I can't impersonate. I mean, he's just Mr. Energy. He's probably 75, 80 years old. Tremendous. But out of that, we're doing a mission trip in June. Nate, raise your hand. I think it's all full at this point. Pretty close. But that came out of that missions conference. It's kind of like, what can we do to keep this going with Dwayne? And so there's a team that's going to go up to Alaska in June, do construction. And then we're looking at a mission trip to Cuba. That's been so exciting to see what God has done in Cuba through this church. After that hurricane came through, destroyed the church, we went in. We've had three times teams have gone in. And Cuba was shut down, not necessarily even because of COVID, but because of communism. It's like, we don't want you to come in. Now I believe it's open again, and Ron will probably lead a team. On the bottom here, I've got Logan's name, Nate and Jess. Out of that conference, I believe, Logan, you sense God's calling on your life and are looking at missions, possibly. He is going to be one going to Alaska. Nate and Jess, I think, had their hearts stirred in new ways from that conference. We all did. But to be praying for them as they look at missions, wouldn't it be great if God took our best from Charleston Bible Church and sent them to the other side of the world? That'd be tremendous. So. All right, some of our missionaries, Jason and Polai, the Winds, the Knoxes in Japan, Katie in Indonesia. It's really been neat, the contact we've been able to keep up with Katie, because she has a team that she Zooms about every couple of months. Tanya, how often is it? Maybe every month, once a month. Oliver and Elvis down in Cuba, Low Country Biblical Counseling Center. Tim, we are so blessed to be a part of what you're doing there and the growth that's taking place at the Counseling Center as they're expanding to Miami. Tim's teaching a Sunday school class now on parenting. You can take some of their courses there. I would encourage that. And I think some here already are. Do we have some who are doing that, Tim? So we've got that. And then remember, as it works with the persecuted church, and I think their activities have been limited in some ways, obviously because of COVID, but they haven't totally stopped as they're supporting people in other parts of the world. I know Curtis has been to Pakistan. Is that not right, Jonathan? In fact, you went with him to Pakistan, didn't you? And you see the things that are happening with the church that's persecuted in other parts of the world. Afghanistan, different places. All right, let me just tick through real quickly some of our ministries. Jay and Anita aren't here. They're down in Florida. But Anita heads up our nursery. And I'll bet you there are 35 ladies who volunteer, maybe some guys who help out with nursery. She's organizing this group, and she does it so faithfully. And we hardly hear a cry come out of our nursery. Now, maybe if you're in there, it's like, oh, you haven't been by here. But she does so well. Nursery, our different Sunday school classes. These are things that happen. And if you've got a child in the class, it's like, oh, you're so thankful. And so maybe today you thank a teacher and you thank God for a Sunday school class. Victoria with the 2 and 3s. Jess and Hannah with the 4 and 5s. Melissa was teaching that class. Suzette. I'm not even sure the age groups here. So there's Danielle's class. Danielle, are you here today? Oh, there you are. There you go. That's her class. They're a ruffians. It's a gang. She's turning them into a gang. All right. Rhett has a class. Dana has been so faithfully teaching. Dana, how many years have you been teaching our junior hires?
I think it was
2012. So 10 years. Do we give you some sort of little merit badge at 10 years? Or would you prefer a vacation, maybe the Bahamas? Keep teaching. Oh, what a teacher's heart. Did you hear that? Just let me keep teaching.
Yeah.
All right. Adult discipleship class. Danny, I'm sorry I didn't have a teen picture. Adult discipleship. Jack, what do you say about adult discipleship? It's teaching?
With teeth.
With teeth. Yes. We have such good teaching here. Tim's teaching now on parenting. Michael on... man of interest, person of interest, just tremendous. Kids clubs, now we're going to Wednesday night. I've already talked about kids clubs. We have between 35 and 40 on a Wednesday night. It's like kind of vacation Bible school during the middle of the week. They do a craft, they have a Bible story, they sing and memorize scripture. It's tremendous. Children's church, about 20 every Sunday get dismissed here and go next door. There they are. With the children, summer camp out at Peaceful Way every year. We've been having it. There's a group from last year. John, how did you end up in the middle of all those kids? Maybe because a number of them are yours, right? Okay, Resolve. If you come here on a Wednesday night, this is a beehive of activity. Praise team is working in here. Adults are over there. We have nursery. We've got college group. Zach and Leanne help lead. Danny has the Resolve group, which are teenagers. And a typical Wednesday now, there's probably 30-plus teenagers in that room next door. Did you know that? We've got kids coming from other churches. They want to be here. And so that's Wednesday night. Danny actually is going to speak just for a few minutes about that. And one of our teens is going to share her testimony. I think she's right back there. Anne, if you want to come on up. Danny?
Yes. Well, Pastor gave us a good introduction. I don't want to take too much time here. But I just want to say it is a blessing looking at all of you guys. It is such a blessing to be a part of this church. It is such a thank you for letting me work with your youth. I really appreciate it. I love what I get to do. And I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you for those who pray. I remember when I first was, whatever you call it, installed as a youth pastor here. One of the things I asked you guys for was that you would pray, because what we all want to see done in the lives of the young people here at this church is not something I can do, and it's not something you can do. It's something we're all supposed to work at together, but it's not something I can do. It's something the Lord can do. And I want to thank you, because I've been here a number of years now, and I can tell some people took me seriously, and they've been praying. And it's a joy to see the Lord working in the lives of the young people in our church. Some over on Wednesday, some are very talkative and love to give answers and share. Some are quieter. Some are, open up only in certain settings. But it's so great to see the Lord when they open their mouth and you're like, oh, wow, that's really encouraging. I didn't know that was in there. And lately, I've seen the Lord working in Anna's life. And so I've asked her to share. I don't actually know what she's going to share, if it's her testimony or if it's something the Lord's teaching her or something like that. But I'm going to let you hear from Anna.
Yeah, so when Mr. Danny first asked me to share what God has been teaching me over the year, the first thing that came to mind was God's goodness. 2020 and 2021 were some interesting years filled with many trials, and it seems as if 2022 is going to put them both to shame. But the one thing that God has taught me is that He is good, and nothing takes Him by surprise. Even as I look to finish my high school year, there are so many uncertainties that leave my head spinning. I am learning that unless I have a desire to follow Him, I will not find His will. 2021 was the first year that I read my Bible from front to back. I can honestly say that it has been one of the best decisions of my life. Through this, my faith has been strengthened, and God has given me guidance and direction. One of my all-time favorite Bible verses is Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Although my future is still so uncertain, I can rest in the fact that if I seek His will, I will find it. Another big lesson God has shown me recently is the importance of an eternal perspective. All the terrible things going on around me reminds me that this world is not my home. Often, I can find myself wrapped up in things that do not really matter or have no eternal value. Times like this is when I am reminded that I must lay up my treasures in heaven rather than on this earth. One of my favorite quotes is, "Live today like Jesus is coming tomorrow." The lesson from this is as simple as it sounds. Don't waste your time on this earth, because we do not know the day or the hour that He will come. And lastly, one of my favorite things I've learned throughout this year is that our God deserves to be worshipped. Although I like to hear Pastor Joel preach, worship is one of my favorite parts of Sunday. To me, there is nothing like singing and praising God in a building with people I love most. I'm so thankful for the leadership and the worship our worship team has added to our church. Through the ups and downs, I have learned that God is good and that He has a plan. Although I cannot always see what He is doing, I am learning that He deserves the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Anna. I don't want to let this time pass, and I don't know if this was on yours or not, I just want to make sure, I want to recognize Zach and Leanne for all that they do. At the beginning of the pandemic, they stepped up and took on the college ministry here at this church. And I think they have done a tremendous job And I so appreciate what they, and they do it so well. It just kind of runs like a well-oiled machine without, you know, without me having to get, I feel sometimes bad that I'm not more involved. They run with it, they handle it.
Oh, that's on cue right there.
So, hey, thank you, Zach and Leanne. You guys did a great job.
Amen. No, I don't need it. Thank you. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Just to hear from Anna and our teens and our college students how God is at work. Hearts and Hands are ladies' ministries. We've got just different ministries, and I'm just going to run through some things here. Bible studies. I know they have a Bible study Tuesday morning, which meets here. They're studying Exodus, Jen Wilkins. And then Jen, where's Jen Timmerman? I believe you have a Zoom study. Where are you at, Jen?
In nursery.
In nursery. Rob, does he not have a Zoom study that meets on Thursdays? Their ladies' retreat last year, and now this year they're back out to Folly. And Sarah Hughes is our speaker this year. How's she doing with that, Danny?
I think very well.
Very well. All right. Frontline Men's Ministry, last fall we had a sportsman's dinner. Many of you were there. Who won that shotgun? Curtis, have you been, using it?
I have shot it.
You have shot it. One time?
I've been twice with it.
Twice, okay, good. Chris, you got to get him out there with that. All right, fellowship groups. 2 years ago, we had three fellowship groups, and this past year we've had five. And there are probably, as far as involvement, I'm going to guess about 130 to 150 people who are involved in fellowship groups. And our desire as an Acts 2:42 church is to emphasize fellowship, relationships, and that's exactly what happens. It's not a Bible study. It can be if the group decides it wants to go in that direction, but primarily it's a meal together, time of prayer, maybe talking about the sermon. And that happens on Sundays. We have five groups, and we'd love to see everybody involved in a fellowship group. Here is the one that met last week at the marches. And you can see there's some of our Afghan friends. Their faces block out there, but they came to our fellowship group last week. And there are just different ones who host these, but it was a real encouragement to have Nadia, and she actually brought a friend along with two children, but fellowship groups. Some of the activities, don't you think this is a really cool church to have bowling, rent a bowling alley on a Sunday night? How many went bowling when we did that? Anybody bowl a perfect game? Ryan, you won high score, didn't you? Yeah, all right, very good. He's smiling back there, he bowls. We're going to do that again. We intend to do that again. Just activities. What about the aquarium? When we were at the aquarium, just a great time. The egg drop out at Peaceful Way. Our Easter here at Charleston Bible Church. All the folks here. Thanksgiving out at Peaceful Way. Christmas Eve. Just all these different holidays or events or things we do as a church that we want to thank God for. There are those who put them together, put them on, resource them, and just the fellowship that we have as a church. Sunday worship. Anna, you mentioned how you appreciate the worship here. And we just have tremendous. This was last Sunday, so you get a sense of how full we are on a Sunday. That was to the right. That was to the left. And we have people in overflow on a Sunday morning usually. But our praise and worship, we are so blessed. Michael's going to be leading today. Curtis leads, Chris leads, and then Tim's at point with that ministry and those who so faithfully serve with them. We have, I'll say for myself, I believe the best praise and worship of any church I've ever been a part of. And I'm an old man, so I've been in a number of different churches. But it's just absolutely encouraging. And it is, Anna, one of the most important things about us as a church, our praise and worship. It just shows where our heart is, and we need to focus on who our God is. Because you're really not going to live in obedience to the Word of God unless you have a great appreciation for the God of the Word. Right? Right? That's what motivates us. That's what stirs our hearts to live in obedience. All right, just a flash of the past, and we're going to be done here. How many of you knew that about when I came, it's been 2005, we couldn't meet in the sanctuary because it had been burnt out? Did you know that? Jack knows that. Jack, all right, you're a lifer here, Jack. Most of you didn't know that. It was arson. Somebody set the church on fire. All right? It didn't burn out totally, and so obviously you can see we renovated from that. But we met next door in the fellowship hall, and that's I think that may have been Sunday school, but that's what it looked like. And so we think of God's activity, and Melissa and I had the privilege of looking at some of the pictures. That's the joy of putting this together, is I look back over the year and over the last 10 years and some of these pictures and see you, how you look. In fact, I'm going to put some slides of you up here shortly. Here, this church has been built on saint godly people. And here's Perrine, she's in glory. There's Diane Murray, she's in glory. Sandra, I can't remember the name of the lady in the wheelchair. What was her name?
Madeline.
All right. Some who are no longer here. In fact, Dr. Fox is in the back there. How many of us remember Dr. Fox? He'd be in the back in a wheelchair. He'd hand out bulletins. All right. So that shows you can be involved. You can be in a wheelchair and hand out bulletins and give a smile. All right. All kinds of ways. All right. Now who's that? but it's people. Our church, God has given us just tremendous people. Hey, your picture may be next. Here you go. How about this one, Jay and Anita? Jonathan and Kenya? You were not married then, were you? I think you were dating. Yep. John and Jessica? Look at John. How many children did you have at that point, John? That was a baptism at the beach, do you know? You weren't married, so we're glad you didn't have any children then. Yeah. So there's John and Jess. There's Jack and I. Look at Jack with his do-rag on. Preaching through the waves, probably trying to still the storm off the coast. There's Danielle, and who's this? Stephen Bostick, and that's, I think, Chloe Mott, isn't it? Well, look at Chloe. What do you think, Chloe? Huh? You're a cute kid. All right, opportunity. I'm going to end just saying there's so much opportunity. God's been at work. He's demonstrated his faithfulness. And I believe he wants to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine into the future. That's one of the delights of looking to the past. And we're encouraged to do that in Scripture. We look to the past and encourage us concerning the future. We've seen the hand of God. We've seen his activity. And we should look into the future anticipating his work as we humble ourselves, as we obey his word, as we cry out to him. He will continue to show himself great and mighty and exalt himself through Charleston Bible Church. So I've asked Jack to pray. Jack, when you're done praying, folks, we've got about 20, 25, maybe 30 minutes at the most where you can go over. Danny went. How many dozen donuts did you get, Danny?
13
dozen. Do the math real quick. That's about 160 donuts. So parents, go through with your kids. We don't want them stacking donuts that high. It's kind of like, how can I stack up? We got a lot of fruit for those of you who say, I'm not eating donuts. I'm going to eat fruit. That's fine. We got plenty of fruit and juice over there for you. So Jack, will you lead us in prayer? And I bet you're going to share some scripture with us.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I want to read from John 12. We have the Gentiles coming to the disciples, and they say, one of the most important requests we could ever have, sirs, we wish to see Jesus. And Jesus answers, and he says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And so to see Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins is the greatest thing that God can open our eyes to see. But then he speaks to us, to you and I, and he says, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And then this is Charleston Bible Church. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him will my Father honor. Let's pray. Father, honor.